Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. We honor St. Maximilian Kolbe, the Polish Franciscan priest, who on this day, August 14th, in the year 1941, died in the Nazi concentration camp in the starvation bunker. The Nazis had to make more room for other victims in that starvation bunker, and St. Maximilian was one of four left still alive after nearly 2 weeks or so of starving and great suffering and agony in that starvation bunker. And so he was removed, put to death by an injection of carbolic acid. And we are told that in those moments, St. Maximilian's gaze was very much bright, as it were, and he was as if in ecstasy in those last moments, perhaps seeing, as it has been for other saints, holy souls, the Lord, our Blessed Mother, and the angels coming for them. We don't know what St. Maximilian saw, but certainly, he was a true model of martyrdom, someone who had laid down his life, for the sake of his brother. He's known as the martyr of charity, therefore. He gave up his life for a stranger, someone else who was condemned to die in that starvation bunker, but who was really crying out when he was selected. He was saying that he would never see his wife and his children again. This man, his name was Francis Gajanicek, a sergeant. And St. Maximilian, hearing that, while standing in line outside in the burning hot sun, the saint had stepped forward, and did an amazing thing and offered his life in exchange for him, saying he was a Catholic priest and he was old, whereas this man was a husband and father of a family. And amazingly, the switch was made. So as a martyr of charity, he's known for this heroic act of his giving his life for another. And for this, he proves himself to be a special patron for the pro-life movement, which seeks to value the life and dignity of every human person. St. Maximilian is a model priest also because he wanted to not just help this man out and, who was in despair, as it were, being selected to die in a cruel way, but he wanted to accompany those who were being sent to the starvation bunker so as to save them from despair as well, which was quite common, we could imagine, just men losing their faith, and losing their hope in such great suffering and torture. So he was a priest to the very end, accompanying souls to get to heaven. In that starvation bunker, we are told, was converted into something of a chapel. Instead of curses and groaning and so forth, there were singing of hymns and prayers led by Father Maximilian Kolbe. This is what St. Maximilian is known for most. But what made this all possible? He wasn't just at the end of his life. He was so heroic and generous and so charitable. But what preceded that was a whole lifetime of living out the gospel values, the virtues, which all Christians are called to, but especially Christian charity. Living out that greatest of Christian virtues, an imitation of Christ, and striving thereby to become holy, to become a saint. And his secret to living out this, a truly generous following of Christ, was Mary Immaculate. It was his secret to following Christ most faithfully. For Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. He knew that very well. It was the Church's teaching, though not yet in a dogma. And someday we hope to hear that proclaimed by the Pope, that Mary is mediatrix of all graces. In any case, this is the truth of the Church, and St. Maximilian was fully aware of it and coherently lived according to it. Since all graces come to us from Christ through Mary, therefore, it's only logical to go to Mary, ask her for all these graces that we need for salvation and for sanctification. And this was a devotion that St. Maximilian had ever since he was young, his parents being devout Catholics and Polish Catholics at that, had a great love for our Blessed Mother and instilled that devotion towards Mary in their sons, including Maximilian. A special occasion only augmented that devotion of St. Maximilian as a child. We are told from his mother that Raymond was his name as a boy, had, after being a bit rebuked softly by his mother for being a bit naughty, saying to him, "Raymond, what will ever become of you?" Little Raymond had, became more thoughtful and prayerful. He was a bit sorrowful for having upset his mother, and brought that before the statue of our Blessed Mother in a local church where we'd often pray. And there, we're told that he was given the great privilege to see Mary, a vision of the Blessed Mother. And Our Lady had presented to little Raymond two crowns, one white, the other red. The white one standing for purity, a life of purity, and the red one standing for the martyr's crown, to die a martyr for Christ. Mary asked little Raymond, "Which one do you choose?" And he confidently, boldly said, "I choose both." And he received that great grace to receive the two crowns of purity and of martyrdom. You can only imagine, from that point onwards, his devotion to Mary just, multiplied, as skyrocketed, as it were, and just continued throughout his whole life. And this is what led to his great sanctification and conformity to Christ Jesus, and to be faithful to the very end, to stay very close to the Blessed Virgin Mary, mediatrix of all graces. When he was old enough, he joined a very Marian religious order, the Franciscans, the conventual Franciscans, who have always championed Mary's glories and privileges, particularly that of her Immaculate Conception. Mary is the only creature of God to be conceived without any taint of sin, original sin, and never touched by any actual sin as well, and full of grace, holiness, from the very first moment of her existence. Franciscans have always championed that truth and have helped to make it more known and understood and proclaimed eventually by Pope Pius IX, Franciscan tertiary pope, as a dogma in the year 1854. And St. Maximilian had a spent much of his life just pondering these truths about our Blessed Mother, especially her Immaculate Conception. When he was a seminarian, something changed his life further. You know, he had witnessed right in the plaza of the Vatican, you know, in front of St. Peter's Basilica, a large gathering of Freemasons who were there celebrating their 200th anniversary of being founded. And some of them had signs up that said things like, "Satan will rule the Vatican," or, you know, things of that nature, and they were very much open in their hatred of the church. And St. Maximilian, as a young seminarian, witnessing this, you know, was moved, you know, not with hatred for these individuals, but certainly hating the sin, you know, that they were perpetuating, and the jeopardy that they were putting themselves, their souls, by blaspheming Christ and his church, and the Pope, and so forth. And so out of charity and love for these souls that were, you know, lost and confused, and to prevent further confusion and a loss of souls, St. Maximilian founded the MI, the Militia of the Immaculate, which was something that anyone could belong to, but especially for the Franciscans, you know, of living out total consecration to Mary in a very simple way, renewing that consecration daily and wearing the miraculous medal, which is a very powerful as a sacramental. Therefore, it was become known as miraculous, but the original name is the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. And these medals would be a sign of that devotion, consecration to Mary, and they would be distributed as well as powerful means to bring souls to Jesus through Mary. St. Maximilian referred to them as his silver bullets, because they would really help, you know, souls, you know, miraculously at times to be moved to conversion or draw closer to Christ. And this movement still exists, the MI movement, throughout the world, and a wonderful way to serve our Blessed Mother and consecration to her. St. Maximilian also, later as a priest, he established a Marian city, you know, literally a small city, you know, in Poland. And this city was filled with friars. So numerous were they. They were almost 800 friars at a certain point. You know, then, you know, just there was nothing like that at the time. And perhaps ever since then, you know, can you imagine, you know, in one place, almost 800 friars. And there they lived a life, the Franciscan life, but dedicating themselves to a particular apostolate or apostolates, using the mass media, everything they could get their hands on in order to evangelize, with a special emphasis on spreading devotion to Mary, our Blessed Mother. They were in the vanguard, as it were, at that time, and made use of the printing press and put out newspapers, magazines, journals, and the Marian magazine, Night of the Immaculate, which reached at a certain point over 1 million subscribers. And these would introduce Christ and Mary into homes throughout the whole world. Nothing was too much for the cause of Our Lady, according to St. Maximilian and his friars. Everything was to be used for her, you know, to make her known and to make her son, Christ Jesus, known. So the latest technology, all the latest gadgets, you know, that were available, were to be used, you know, for this conquering of the whole world for Christ through Mary. And he later founded another Marian city in Japan, and was hoping to do so in other countries as well. So St. Maximilian, he's a wonderful saint for us, and rather contemporary as well, relevant to our times. We live in times of great evil, and St. Maximilian, his time, had seen similar evils, you know, living through, you know, World War II and the Nazis and so forth. But we are in need of, you know, great saints, you know, to inspire us and we to follow in these times. St. Maximilian is one of those, you know, great saint, you know, a great Marian saint. And we need to, like him, draw closer to Christ through Mary, grow in our devotion towards Mary, you know, not to be Marian minimalists, but to be Marian maximalists, to love Mary as much as we can. And we can never love her too much. We can never love her as much as Christ loved her, which was with an infinite love, and so much that he lavished upon her so many graces and privileges, the divine maternity to be the mother of God, you know, to be universal queen, to be the Immaculate Conception, and to be perpetual virgin, and to be mother of the church, to be mediatrix of all graces, and so forth. We need to stay very close to Mary, mediatrix of all graces, to receive those graces we greatly need day by day. Graces to resist temptation and sin, resist the snares of the devil, and graces to live a life of Christian holiness and virtue, and even to a heroic manner, even at the point of suffering and maybe even dying as martyrs. So we ask St. Maximilian to pray for us, and we listen to his words, which we close with. Love the Immaculata, and she will make you happy. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Now,